Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Wednesday live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Joy Taylor is joining me. Talked a lot of Dak Prescott yesterday. Scaling back a little today on the Dak Prescott talk. Little.
I don't think we've ever talked more about someone's contract. And you and I are not even contract people.
Always been.
I don't make more money if someone else makes less money.
I don't like to talk about guys' money. Even mobsters who whack people. The rule is like, don't sell heroin and don't talk about a guy's money.
Are those the rules?
I think they are. Whack guys. You make sure the boss is happy, but you know, it's just like, I don't want to talk about people's money.
Well, we don't have to anymore.
We don't. So this is interesting. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were the best team in the NFL at the end of the year, easily. Crushed Kansas City. So they have now agreed to terms with Lavonte David, the linebacker. Just made it work. They franchise tagged Chris Godwin, slot receiver. Great player. They just made it work. And apparently they're in talks now with Shaq Barrett, great player. Tom Brady's now restructuring his deal. They want to add another star. Anybody noticing a trend? And not just that aggressive teams win. I've talked about that ad nauseum. They now win immediately. KD to Golden State, title, year one. Kawhi to the Raptors, title, year one. LeBron, AD, title, year one. Tom Brady, Tampa, title, year one. Mookie Betts, Dodgers, title, year one. You don't even have to wait. You don't have to speculate. By the time people are talking about expectations, you're bringing home a trophy. And it never used to be that way. At best, it was year two. Guys learned the system, but there was a process to it. Why? I was thinking about this morning. For all of my adult life, bad teams needed stars to quickly fix their problems. Mediocre to slightly above mediocre teams went and got stars because they thought it put them in a different class. Now it's changed. Now the great teams are like, let's get greater. Tampa Bay's like, yeah, we dominated. Let's add more. Dodgers kept winning their division title, best roster in baseball. They're like, no, let's go get the best player in the game. I mean, think about that. Think what the Rams did this year. The Rams went 10-6 in the toughest division. And if a call got overturned in Buffalo early in the year, they were 11-5. They go on the road and win a playoff game. And they're like, well, yeah, we're going to upgrade at quarterback. Jared Goff was 42-20 and got to a Super Bowl with Sean McVay. They're like, not really good enough. We're going to upgrade at quarterback. It was 42-20. He went 10-6 in the toughest division. Broken hand, end of the year. Won a playoff game with a broken hand. Not good enough. Golden State won a title. Following year, they went 73 games. They lose in game 7. And they're like, you know what? That's not good enough. Let's get KD. What? I mean, the fact that Tom Brady's like, no, I want to rework this to get another star. It didn't used to be that way. Like, you were great. Your job was safe. Your GM, your job was safe. Coach, your job was safe. Uh-uh. Now franchises are worth $1 billion. Owners, they don't want one. They want multiple. So the only thing that guarantees employment for a GM and for a coach is multiple. You can always say, well, you know, they won a title, but I mean, you know, I mean, Gene Chizik won a title at Auburn. And there's been a lot, you know, some average quarterbacks. Brad Johnson won a title in Tampa. That's why Jimmy Garoppolo, San Francisco. They're a great team. They're like, no, let's upgrade. That's not good enough. Now you get it. And it's why I kind of roll my eyes at these teams that are like, well, you know, just can't quite fit J.J. Watt into our, what are you doing? Well, I mean, New England's like bid and lost on like seven players. What are you doing? Like the best team in football is reworking deals with their quarterback to add another star. The Dodgers got Mookie Betts. They won a World Series. They're like, let's add Trevor Bauer. What? We just had the Cy Young winner? You were already easily the best team in baseball last year. Right? And you have Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw and David Price. They're like, no, let's add the best pitcher. Why? Why not? It used to be average to slightly above average. The bad teams went and got stars. Now the star-driven teams are adding stars. They'll figure out the cap and the problems later. Let's get another. And this leads me, to the Green Bay Packers. Good God. So they did not franchise tag Aaron Jones. Great running back. That means Aaron Jones will hit the market. Someone's going to make an offer. I love Aaron Jones. By the way, they couldn't find a way to pay for J.J. Watt. And they're going to lose their center, Corey Linsley, which is amazing because he's like a Pro Bowler. Like, isn't the thing in football, this is a kind of easy one, you get the right draft picks and then you keep them. So they got Aaron Jones in the fifth round, Corey Linsley in the fifth round. They paid them nothing. They became great. And now they're like, it's a little tight for our budget. You wonder why Aaron Rodgers sometimes gets a little prickly. The Packers are doing the opposite now of what wins titles. And they become the post office. The Packers are the post office. The rest of us now, like the Rams and the aggressive teams, no, they're the post office. You know how the rest of us can send a letter electronically? It arrives instantly and it's free. Not the Packers. Not the Packers. The Packers write a handwritten letter. And then they lick the envelope. And then they go into the drawer and they get the stamp. And then they get in their sedan and they drive to the post office. Hi, Betsy. And then they give her the letter or him. And they're like, oh, it's Friday. The mail's closed Sunday. That's what they're doing. Like, is Green Bay watching teams like the Dodgers and the Warriors? And are they watching what the Buccaneers are doing? Like, the world's changed. The great teams now, with no needs, are adding more. Dodgers didn't need Trevor Bauer. The Tampa Bay doesn't need any more stars. The Rams were winning their division and going 10-6, 11-5 with Jared Goff. It's not good enough. Golden State didn't need Kevin Durant. They won 73 games without him. The other thing is, I have this feeling about New England. Like, if dad's uptight, the family's uptight. This is my theory. I started noticing years ago, I'm kind of intense. When I was uptight, everybody's walking on eggshells in the house. So if I was in one of my moods, I just leave the house. So when dad's uptight, because dad's the big booming voice in the house, often the tallest person, the biggest person, dad, all the kids are like, ooh, and they get uptight. And mom's a little uptight. Oh, boy, your father. So I was like, loosen up. Or if you're in a mood, get out of the house. The Packers now are so, their culture is so safe and frugal that progressive Matt LaFleur comes in. The coach, right? Young guy. What did they do on the last series of the year? They got super safe and conservative, and kicked a field goal. We never thought Matt LaFleur was safe. We don't think Aaron Rodgers. These are go-getter guys. These are get-getter done. And at the end of the season, Matt LaFleur is like, no, I didn't kick a field goal and lick a stamp and take it to the post office and hope it. What are you doing? That's the culture of Green Bay. The culture. Have you ever been fun guy? You work at an office. Everybody's uptight. And a year later, you feel like, I'm uptight. Dad's uptight. The house is uptight. Boss uptight, the office uptight. Culture uptight, coach quarterback become uptight. Green Bay needs to loosen up. Buy some leather pants. Seriously, unbutton your shirt all the way to your navel. You guys need to lighten up. You couldn't pay for J.J. Watt. You're not going to pay for Aaron Jones. Corey Lindsley, you're not going to keep. Are you watching what Tampa's doing? Tampa's like, listen, we're kind of inappropriate. We may get home late. We've had too much to drink. We're going all in on it. We're going to pay for stuff we don't even need. That's winning. That's what's winning in Los Angeles. That's what's winning in Tampa. God. Yeah, be Aaron Jones. Just let him go to the market. I don't know. Corey Lindsley can't afford him. J.J. Watt, it doesn't work for our budget. I don't know. Doesn't feel right to me. By the way, my family now is a lot more fun. Uncle Colin now is not as uptight. What do you make of my dad uptight, family uptight theory?
No, it's very accurate and very reflective of the Packers and the last play of the
I mean, wasn't amazing?
Reflected that as well, yeah.
Matt LaFleur is around that uptight building, and he is now making calls where we're all going. What are you doing?
Well, the energy and the tone comes from the top. And that's how the Packers do business.
If I ran the Packers, two rules. No Dockers in the building.
No Dockers?
No Dockers. Okay. No khaki pants in the building. I'm not going to allow any khaki pants in the building. Secondly, Wednesday, cocktails for lunch.
I was about to say, they may want to mix in like a work happy hour or something. It kind of, you know, not saying you don't need to run a tight ship, but every once in a while you got to relax and just.
New rule in Green Bay, no Starbucks.
Go wild.
Bloody Marys for breakfast.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I was thinking about this. Listen, you all know the rule. 90% of you know the rule. If you've listened to me for any time, there are certain teams and certain players I'm going to talk about, okay? Steph Curry, LeBron James, James Harden, Kevin Durant, New York Yankees in baseball, you know, Ohio State football. They've got a huge brand. Dallas Cowboys. Like, you all, I'm not telling you anything that 99% of you don't know. I'm not going to spend Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence for the first time in my life. I'll talk Jags football. But by and large, a third of the NFL just doesn't get on the show unless you have like a star quarterback or there's a controversy. And you know this to be true. And this is the reality of our business. If I don't get a rating, if Joy don't get a number, we don't have a show. They're putting up bars. We got no show and we're just sad. So we got to talk about stuff that the majority of people care about. So the Dallas Cowboys are literally every year the number one rating on every network. If they're on the NFL network, it gets the best rating of the year. Fox best rating, NBC best rating, CBS best rating. But when Dak was signing a contract, I thought about this driving home yesterday, is that if you take out the Dak Prescott contract discussions, Joy and I talked about, if you just took those out, he's a quarterback, it's the Cowboys, Jerry Jones, Dak, we talked about. If you took those conversations out last year, it's the least I've ever talked about the Dallas Cowboys. We talked about that during the season. Very rarely. They just didn't make the lead on Mondays. They weren't interesting enough. The head coach is boring. The quarterback, Dak or Andy, don't have a lot of sizzle. And I was thinking next year, if you put Dallas's seven best players on a piece of paper, and this morning I was thinking, you know, Zach Martin, Jalen Smith, Amari Cooper, DeMarcus Lawrence, Dak Zeke. I think CeeDee Lamb's pretty special. That's their seven best players. And I kind of struggled with the seventh. Zeke, by the way, is regressing. DeMarcus Lawrence is regressing. And Amari Cooper feels overpaid now. Let's take the best team in the NFC. Tampa Bay, seven best players. Brady, Mike Evans, Shaq Barrett, JPP, Tristan Wirfs, Lavonte David, Chris Godwin, and I couldn't stop because Devontae White made a Pro Bowl. Vita Vea is their highest-rated defensive lineman, Antoine Winfield Jr. is about as good a rookie safety as I've seen in years. And I'm not done. Like, Tampa's got like 14 special players. Dallas is a big brand. There's not a lot of special there. I mean, you asked me this morning, C.D. Lamb has a chance to be really special. He looked really, really good. Offensive line used to be special. It's in rebuild mode. I mean, last year, people forget this, when Dak was healthy, they started the year 1-3, and the win was on a miracle onside kick recovery against awful Atlanta, or they're 0-4. Well, now you've paid Dak $40 million. I was talking, actually had dinner last night with an NFL owner. And there's certain things he can't say and can't say. But we were talking about the salary cap and this misinformation by the media that it's just going to explode over the next 4 years. No, it's not. It's just going to go up gradually. $40 million for Dak is going to be a lot of money for the entire contract. And the only way, when you don't have a bunch of special players, to get special players, pay for them, can't afford it, or crush the draft. That's hard. New England doesn't crush the draft. Crushing the draft, and not a lot of people crushing the draft for stars. Jimmy Johnson on the show yesterday talking about this.
I think he's a great leader for the team. I think the team really rallies around him. He could make plays with his legs. You know, he could run the football. And, you know, he fit into their system. He has had problems at times being inaccurate. He can win you a championship if he has great players around him. I don't think Dak can carry a football team if he doesn't have great players around him.
And he doesn't. And the only way to get him is paying for him. And I looked at Dallas' schedule next year. They face a lot of teams next year with special players. Arizona, Tampa, Kansas City, Chargers, Vikings, Saints. Those are all on the road. So you start looking at that schedule, there's a lot of teams on that schedule with special players. So, I can love Dak, but I was just thinking about this when I drove home. I was just like, they just don't have a lot of special players. It's a great brand, but there's not a lot of sizzle to it. Kansas City's got sizzle. Rams got sizzle. Green Bay's got some sizzle, needs more. Buffalo's got sizzle. Tampa's got a ton of sizzle. Seattle's got some sizzle. There's some sizzle in this league. There's like, whoa, those are great. Arizona's got a couple guys. You're like, wow. Chandler Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray. Where's Dallas's? Best player is probably a guard. That's it. I mean, the Colts last year, Jonathan Taylor, end of the year, the running back. You're like, oh, okay, that's a star. Michael Pittman, oh, it's a star. I mean, it's not wrong with having a great guard, Quentin Nelson, but it's just fun. You know, I sat driving home. I'm like, Dallas is just not a topic as to me. If they start out 5-0, I'm not going to say I'm not going to cover them, but I don't know. There's not a lot of there.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Nick right now joining my friend First Things First. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. I ain't listening.
That was good. That was funny.
What can I say? Just hang out with the stars. Okay. Uh-huh. Dak Prescott, a lot of money, more than I like. Your thoughts initially when you saw it?
It's the best contract any player's ever gotten in NFL history. And I do wonder how it will affect. You were talking about Lamar a moment ago. If I'm Lamar, or if I'm Josh Allen, or dare I say on this show, if I'm Baker Mayfield, the next crop of quarterbacks who are going to get paid, what teams have always been able to hang over the head of those quarterbacks they want to extend is, well, you know, if you don't take this extension, we can always just wait you out and franchise tag you. And I think now you've got, well, Kirk Cousins got franchise tagged and got nothing but guaranteed money. He's the 13th best quarterback in football, and no quarterback's taken home more cash over the last 6 years, if you include this upcoming season, than Kirk. So that worked out. Dak Prescott got franchise tagged. He's probably the 9th best quarterback in football, and he's going to make $75 million cash this year and never be able to be franchise tagged again. That was the sneaky important part of the deal. So while I think that the Cowboys had to get it done, I actually think the butterfly effect of this is Jerry Jones, I think, put the Ravens
the Bills and the Browns in a tough spot if any of those quarterbacks want to bet on themselves like Dak did and play hardball, because the franchise tag is not as ominous as it once sounded for quarterbacks if Dak can snap his ankle and then get $126 million essentially fully guaranteed.
Yeah. So I was saying, new rule on the show, you can't ask Aaron Rodgers to beat Brady next year when they're not going to keep Aaron Jones, Corey Tinsley, and couldn't land J.J. Watt. And here's Brady reworking his deal so they can add a another star. What do you make? I mean, that yesterday it's like Chris Godwin, boom, Levante David, boom, Shaq Barrett, we're working on him. It's like they got a different bank. What do you make of their offseason?
So the I think you're asking me about the Packers. If you're asking me about the Bucks, I can answer that later, I guess.
Let's do the Bucks first. What do you make of their aggressive offseason?
Okay. The only part of the Bucks offseason I don't understand is this. If you could only franchise tag, and you could only franchise tag either Godwin or Shaq Barrett, I'm very surprised they didn't prioritize Barrett. Because Godwin feels like more of a luxury to me. You have Mike Evans, Gronk's going to come back, O.J. Howard's going to come back from injury, Cameron Brate's already there, Scotty Miller's there, Tyler Johnson, who had like 9 catches all year but made that unbelievable catch in the playoff game against the Packers. And then Troy said, you know, I talked to Tom about this kid. He said just hadn't been able to find passes for him, but they like him. A.B. might be back. I thought Godwin was more of a luxury, and I thought Shaq Barrett was more of a necessity. Now, I know there is some belief that Shaq Barrett, you know, they're going to get something worked out. But Shaq Barrett's been in this league 7 years. He was undrafted. His first 4 years in the league, he made a combined $1.9 million. He has 2 rings and $25 million in career total earnings. That strikes me as the type of player that's going to take the most possible money, and he's going to hit the market. So I think it's been a good offseason. The Levante David contract's great, and obviously Brady's helping him with cap flexibility. But Colin, I'm a little surprised that they're opening the door to Shaq Barrett leaving when their other major pass rushers, I mean, JPP's 31, Ndamukong Suh's 32. Like, I thought they would have tagged Shaq Barrett. So I want to see what happens there. If he signs a long-term deal, then it's an A-plus offseason. If he doesn't, then I do wonder about the Godwin-Barrett decision.
It is, and let's go back to the Packers now, because I do think Aaron Rodgers can be prickly, but he's got to be looking at this thing in New England, or excuse me, in Tampa, and just going, you want me to beat that? We can't even keep Aaron Jones. And I'm supposed to beat that. We won't keep my Pro Bowl center. Is there a solution for Green Bay?
Well, I don't know if it's quite a solution. And the one thing I'll say on Aaron Jones is I think it's possible they do keep him. I think the franchise tag number for running backs, $11 million. Maybe they think they can get him for 3 years, $27 million with like 18 guaranteed, something like that. So I don't know if he's quite out the door yet, but they certainly opened the door to him leaving. But I heard you saying, Colin, the Packers need to put on, I think you put it some, you said some leather pants and unbutton their shirt down to their navel.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you were being literal or figurative there, but I know a guy they could acquire who I would imagine has some leather pants and I think very often wears his shirt unbuttoned to the navel. And that's Odell Beckham Jr. You don't want him in Cleveland anymore.
No.
You got the 28th pick of the draft. You've got Devontae Adams. Odell, this would be what I'm hoping for my friend Odell, the Randy Moss career arc, unbelievable first stop, kind of confusing second stop, and then he finally gets with a superstar quarterback and he has nails in his third stop. I think Cleveland needs to prioritize their secondary in the draft and they need to add draft assets to do so. And one other point is the Packers last year spent a first-round pick on a guy they hope never, or Aaron Rodgers hopes never plays. If they this year spent their first-round pick on a guy who's a la Stephon Diggs in Buffalo or DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona could make an instant impact, I think that is the type of move they could make, and I would recommend that they do make. His contract's super reasonable, $14 million per each of the next 3 years, and I think he's available. So I think that's the move that fixes a lot of this for Green Bay. And what would make Uncle Colin happier than OBJ and Aaron Rodgers on the same team? Oh, I mean, two of his favorites, all-time players. It would just be beautiful. It would just be great.
I do think OBJ with Aaron, a veteran quarterback, would work. I think OBJ, you know, Eli was shot at the end. Baker's not Aaron. I think Aaron and OBJ, yep, there would be a, you walk into the room and you're like, you know you're playing with a Hall of Famer. I think it works. Finally. Washington doesn't have a quarterback. About five teams don't. New England doesn't have a, well, Cam quarterback. Chicago doesn't have. Sam Darnold's out there. Surprised nobody's called. San Francisco doesn't like Garoppolo.
I just love, this is like, I was trying to think about what my Sam Darnold is, and I couldn't quite pinpoint it. I just love the soft spot Colin has for Sam Darnold. I love that Sam Darnold could end up being in the CFL, and Colin's going to be like, you know, I'm going to tell you guys a guy that you should look out for, Sammy Darnold. I don't know if you watched him on Saturday, but you love this guy. And I am, here's what I'll say. I think he's been in a brutal spot. I think he has been in a spot where it is almost impossible to succeed. I am very curious if the Jets are out enough on him to trade him within the division. Because if anywhere, you know, he could rehab things, you would think it would be New England. And you're right that a lot of these, there are a lot of openings, but I don't know a lot of openings where they're going to be patient with a guy. I think New England would be fascinating for him. I also think that the better move for Pittsburgh would have been to just, you know, cut ties with Big Ben. I know it's not what they wanted to do and they didn't do it. Take a flyer on Darnold, and either you've got your young quarterback or you stink and you end up drafting a quarterback the following year. I don't think he's, let me just throw one thing, and I know we're short on time. Let me ask you real quick, if both are available, who would you rather take a flyer on, Darnold or Jameis? Because I think post-LASIK Jameis is fascinating. I think Jameis with his eyes fixed might actually be have something there, and he's available without a trade. Like Jameis, I'm interested in.
It's a good, I'd take Darnold. Maturity with Jameis, always, I thought he was a
little,
you're not quite there, but I've also said this, he was hella productive. It's never been a production issue for him. He throws for a zillion yards. He just, every other pass is a pick six. Well, that was good. No, that was good. That was a good question. Very good job today. Kind of grilling me. I can take it, of course. But I'll rethink my Darnold positions.
you can take it. Who was the owner? Tell America, who was the owner? Spill the beans, Colin.
Can't do that.
Who was the owner you were having dinner with?
Cannot divulge. Oh, the reason owners have dinner with me is they trust me. Very trusted in NFL circles.
Yeah, and you pick up the tab.
That I didn't.
See you, Colin.
Nope, didn't even reach for the Amex card. Didn't even make an attempt at it. Good stuff with Nick Wright.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So this game we play, it's called the high-low game. I take first-round quarterbacks who are perceived to be going, and I give them a high end. If things go well, here's who they are at their best. And if things don't go well, here's who they are at their worst. Now, we all know, this is factual, that where you land matters. That's not disputable. Josh Allen would not be this good if he had a crappy coaching staff. But Sean McDermott's great. Brian Daboll's a great OC. They got him Stephon Diggs. You know, it matters. We all know that. That is not up for dispute. So I'm considering a lot of different things here, where they're drafted, everything. Stylistically, it may not always, you can't find the perfect fit, right? But here we go. Let's play the high-low game. Let's start with Trevor Lawrence high-low game. The high for Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson is Troy Aikman. Looks the part, arm, accurate. Nobody disputes the talent. Day one, walks in, and you're like, that's what a franchise quarterback looks like. Bumpy for the first couple years until he's surrounded with legitimate talent. But in about year three, you're like, we got ourselves a Hall of Fame talent. The low end, Andrew Luck. Size, mobility, called an all-time talent, but the franchise holds him back. He gets beat up with a bad O-line for a couple of years, and you're like, you know what? It just, you don't blame him. He doesn't take the hit, but he could just never get maybe the GM, the line, the support right. High-end, low-end Trevor Lawrence is Troy Aikman's career or Andrew Luck at worst. That's pretty good. Zach Wilson, BYU. All right. The high-end is Matt Stafford. Lively arm. Nobody disputes his talent. People talk about his talent. 10 years in the league. But he can't save a bad franchise. You know, he's got a good YouTube. You look up YouTube, he's got all sorts of plays. And he's slick. Got his own kind of style. But he can't save like the Jets at number two. Low end's Baker Mayfield. Fun to watch. Ceiling's a little lower than we thought. Maybe a bit of a reach as a number two draft pick. Certainly watchable. And even when he struggled, fun to watch. Got a flair to him. Zach's got a flair. The high end, though, if he goes to the Jets, feels like he can't overcome their nonsense. How about Justin Fields? Ohio State. The high end to me is Deshaun Watson. Dude is a playmaker. Arm, feet, he's a playmaker. You can win any game with Justin Fields. He doesn't have the smoothest delivery. It's not the prettiest football. But high school star, college star, and you're not surprised. If the franchise is bad, he can carry him to the playoffs. Teammates love him. Total difference maker at quarterback. The low end is Sam Darnold. Super talented, inconsistent. Sometimes you're like, God, I love him. And then the next series, you're like, man, he's missing wide open receivers. Is that, and you think to yourself, that's crazy. But I watched Justin Fields this year against Clemson. I was like, whoa. And then I watched them against Northwestern. I was like, oh. Yeah, I didn't know week to week quite what I was getting. But the high side and the low side, you're talking about a dynamic athlete. Trey Lance, North Dakota State. I think high, low. High is Josh Allen. Total wow factor physically. Like, whoa. A small school. So you're questioning, is he just better than all these average players? A bit of a project. You're not going to have him walk into this league and light everybody up. Could become very dependent on where he lands. May struggle a little early. But in year three, if he's got the right people, you're going to say to yourself, why didn't we like him more? Why wasn't he the number one pick? Big upside. The low side is Blake Bortles. He kind of looks the part. And there's some athletic ability here. He wins some games. But you're like, he kind of plateaus. And you just kept waiting for Blake to get to the next level. And he just never got to the next level. But there's something there. They're athletically, you're not going to dispute that. Blake could move around and make plays. So could Josh. And then Mac Jones, Alabama. The high side is Kirk Cousins. Delivers the ball, not real athletic, does not look like the future of the quarterback position. But coachable, surround him with premier players, he can get him the football. You don't feel like in the big games against the best quarterbacks, you kind of feel like you have the second best guy at that position. Low side is Matt Barkley, USC. Big school, great teammates, really well liked. Pretty low ceiling. Can't do anything with his feet. Strictly a pocket guy. Overdrafted. Stays in the league forever because coachable, good in the film room, nice guy. But you just kind of feel like, yeah, it's the talent around him that kind of did a lot of the work. That's my high-low game. We're 50 days, by the way, until the draft.